Well, good morning.
Wow, wow. Maybe we should have saved that decision for the end. I am so glad to be here with you this morning on what Craig said is a little bit of a different Sunday. We are launching our series Bon Voyage, and if you're like me when you came in, you got that card on your seat and you flipped it over and you thought, whoa, that's a reading plan right there. Yeah. We're going to be reading through Paul's journeys for the next few weeks. And then the ironic part is, though we're launching a series, Bon Voyage, we're welcoming back our team today. I'm Janice, like Craig said, if we haven't met. I've been attending Blue Ash Community Church with my husband, and he's in the back running sound, and our three kids since 2013, except for 3 years when we moved our family to Haiti to serve orphan and vulnerable children. Like Craig said, it's the ministry that our church partners with and that our team traveled with. And back-to-back ministries, I still work there. I obviously don't live in Haiti anymore. That'd be a big commute. But the Lord has let me keep working at back-to-back. And I get the privilege of coaching and training and discipling our new missionaries and our new staff members as they raise support to go to the site where they will be working. Back-to-back Ministries is an international organization. We care for orphan and vulnerable children and their families. Back-to-back is about holistic care, and we go deep with the kids that we serve to break the cycle of generational poverty. And we do that in different ways at 9 sites around the globe, from Cancun, where our staff, where our team was, to Haiti, to even right here in Cincinnati. It's just a great organization to be a part of, and I'm honored to still be there. So I get the privilege today of sharing with you about going, loving, and serving the least of these. And I promise you that I could talk about this for hours, but I won't. However, if this tugs at your heart or you feel a nudge to learn more, I love talking about the work that God lets me be a part of. So connect with me. You can write it on your Connect card that you want to grab coffee or just, like I said, grab me afterward. I would love to talk about it with you. I think it's super cool that God uses us to do his work and lets us be part of his story of redeeming love, even though he really doesn't need us. So I want to start this morning by inviting up two friends who said yes to God's redeeming love and traveled with Back-to-Back Ministries to Cancun. They spent this past week, welcome Allie and Crystal. They spent this last week saying yes to being part of God's redemption story and serving vulnerable children and families in Cancun. Thank you, ladies. I would love to start. Most of us probably think of Cancun as a beautiful vacation destination.
And it is.
And it is. I love that. But I was hoping one of you would share just a little bit about Cancun as a mission trip destination.
So actually, the first day we got there, they gave us kind of this, I guess they get a lot of people coming down that have that exact understanding of what Cancun is. But so with it being such a huge tourist district, what happens is it used to be a very low wage that the workers who work in these places would make. And then there were tips as an added bonus. But somewhere over the last few years, they changed it. And so it's even less of a wage, and they're highly dependent on the tips. But since most of these places are labeled as all-inclusives, right, those of us who come down there often think, oh, that includes tips. So you have these families that are relying upon these tips, but they're not getting them because they don't understand that that's supposed to happen. And so the really hard part where the families come into this is for most of these parents that work, it's an hour or 2 hour bus ride from their homes to this district. They come, they work 10 to 12 hour shifts, and then they come home for another hour to 2 hour bus ride. And so then you have the kids at home that don't have that parental figure. They don't have someone teaching them right or wrong. They don't have them teaching the things that they need to know. And then they don't have that safety net of their parents constantly watching over them.
So. Awesome. Thank you. I'm going to start with the question I want to ask them is about their picture of the week. So while you think about what is your picture of the week, when you come on a mission trip with Back-to-Back, we know that God is doing a work through you in the community that you're in, but we also know God is doing a work in you. And we have saved time each evening for reflection. We want to press in and we want to see what God is doing. So each evening we walk through the experiences that you had that day. And then we ask the question, what is your picture of the day? What is your snapshot? What stands out to you that maybe the Lord is doing? Or it really could be anything, just that is your picture of the day. And these are the pictures that stick with you long after the trip is over. So one of you kick us off and share your picture of the week.
I have so many pictures.
It's so hard.
So I had to pick one. My picture of the week happened a couple different times, and it was when we would do worship together with the staff. I think there's a picture of it, of us all together. So one of the first days we were there, we hosted a teen camp. And so we did a bunch of, like, events and games and things for the teens. And at the end, we all got together and sang. And what was so amazing about it was these were songs that we sing here every Sunday. So they're singing them in Spanish, but we know the words. And, like, once you heard, like, it's the first couple chords, I was like, I know this song. And it felt so familiar. And I thought what was so beautiful about it was language was a barrier. I mean, they speak Spanish. I do not. And so there was a struggle sometimes to be able to communicate. But once we started singing together, even though some of us were singing in English, some were singing in Spanish, it was all the same song. And we were singing to the same God. And so it was such a beautiful picture of how we're just all one body in Christ. And that I think that'll be something that'll stick with me for a long time, is just the power of music and how it can unite all of us.
So for me, the second day, so Blue Ash, we reached out to see if we could do like a group outing with the kids, because they don't get to go, especially since COVID, they don't get to go out very much, and they certainly don't get to go to the tourist district. So when we reached out, back-to-back said, yeah, that would be a great idea. And so there's this huge outdoor mall that's in downtown Cancun, and so the kids got picked up on these giant charter buses, again, another first for them, and they've never been to any of these places. So there was like a wax museum, Ripley's Believe It or Not, there was a chocolate museum, a mirror maze, which was challenging in and of itself, but it was just great to see the kids' faces light up. And my moment came in this, young man here, he was going through and was trying desperately to take a selfie. And I happened to be trailing at the back with him, and I saw him doing it, and he just wasn't able to do it. So I was like, photo? And just like held my hand out, and he said, oh, yeah. So I became his personal photographer for the next like 4 or 5 different things that he stopped. And like, you can't see it because of the mask, but he just was all smiles when he did take the mask down. And it just was such excitement that was infectious. And then the beauty of it, so there was this moment, was the second full day we were there. But then at the end, the last day, so they have this thing called the Mom's Market, and he was actually there with his mom. And I was kind of looking at the stuff, and all of a sudden I look up, and I was like, oh, and I called him by name. And he sat there, and he was like, oh. And then he was like, Cristal. And I was like, yeah. And so we had this great moment. He starts like talking all this stuff in Spanish. And I'm like, no sé. And so he's like, Amy, who is the translator / group coordinator. And she comes running over. And he had been looking for me. So just this moment of, you know, 4 or 5 pictures, him asking my name and exchanging names, he remembered and was looking for me at the end. So.
I love that. Thanks for sharing that.
So my mom also joined us on the trip. So hola, Nancy. She's watching online. I'll share her picture of the day or picture of the week. The first day that we were there, that we were doing that teen camp, there were a lot of outdoor activities. It's Mexico in June. It's pretty hot. And there was this beautiful girl. She had long hair. And we were playing volleyball together. She kept kind of going like this and twisting it up and trying to get it up and trying to, like, just get it out of her face. And so my mom took out her hair scrunchie and gave it to her and said, here, do you want this? And the girl was like, thank you, you know, gracias. And she put it in her hair, and it was something, like, you could tell she was, like, happy about it. Like, not a big moment, right? Well, then the next day we see her, she has the hair scrunchie in. The next day we see her, she has the hair scrunchie in. And every day she had it. And we were just thinking about, like, how little a hair scrunchie is to us. I mean, I literally have them laying all over my house and, you know, in a car and this. And that might be her only hair scrunchie.
you know? And that was like something that now she has that she didn't have yesterday. And it was something that was so simple to us, meant, you know, a couple dollars for us is not accessible or easy for them to have or get, or those are choices that they have to make. So that was something that I think stuck with my mom, was just seeing how you may think it's very simple and what you're giving to someone, it doesn't maybe mean much to you, but to them, it's everything.
Hmm. I love that. Yeah, absolutely.
So the beginning of that story, before we even went, so Nancy, she had all these, like, the bands that are mosquito repellents, right? So she, before we left that morning, God was already working on her, because I can remember sitting there, and she already was done up, and she grabbed the mosquito band. She's like, I'm just going to put this around my hair because, you know, I might need mosquitoes away from my hair. And she said, and then maybe if somebody needs my scrunchie, I won't need it. I just forgot about it.
Yeah, I love how the Lord takes our any and makes it so much. That's so cool. And no surprise, I love that we serve a God that we can't put in a box, that we can't just write his story for him. So ladies, I'd love it if you would share with us something that happened this week that was maybe surprising, or you went in expecting one thing and it looked like something else, or just hit you out of the blue as unexpected.
So I had heard a lot about mission trips and things, and so I was fully expecting to be doing a lot of hard manual labor, and it wasn't that trip. I mean, we did do work. We painted, we cleaned, did things like that, but I think the focus of this trip was really spending time with kids and connecting with them and letting them have fun, and so the big, you know, overarching theme of the weekend was just connection. And trying to make people feel seen and known and loved. And so it was actually so much more refreshing and re-energizing to me, because I think I got more rest on that trip than I do normally at home. And I was fully expecting to be, you know, pouring concrete and doing things like that. So that was a welcome, surprise. But then I think also what was surprising to me was how... it was refreshing to be the odd one out. That so often in our lives here, everyone speaks English. I can have a conversation with anyone that I walk up to and meet, and it just feels easy. There, you were the one that looked different. You were the one that didn't speak the language. You were the one that was coming into their space. But then how open they were to receiving you. And then also how easy it is to connect to someone just by smiling, just by trying to have fun, by playing volleyball, by coloring, by asking questions in the most elementary Spanish you can get. I mean, it was like, they were probably like, wow, I'm talking to like a 2-year-old right now. Google Translate's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Often I was like, say it again. You know, like, and I'd like open up my phone and put it in, like, can you say that again? And they're like, oh, okay. So, I mean, there's ways to overcome these barriers if you try.
Lots and lots of moments. Yeah, it's hard to choose.
So I was struck a lot by the demeanor of the kids, their hearts, and just how vulnerable their hearts were, the families were, the staff. It just was a unique experience that you could tell from the very moment we got there how much the staff loved each other, how much they loved these kids that came in and out every day, and then even, I think, how much they loved us before they even knew us. It was so welcoming. There was never a moment where it felt awkward, and they were all willing to share their stories in a great big open way. We prayed over a couple different families, two different days from different sites, and all of those families were so open. Like, I feel like here so much of the time we guard ourselves, we hold things back, when the reality is if we're just open, God rewards that. And in this case, all of those families were so very open, and it was just an amazing experience.
I love that. Thanks. Like I mentioned, we know that God is doing a work through you, but also in you while you were there. If you wouldn't mind sharing just a teens about maybe what the Lord showed you or reminded you while you were on this trip. I can put that even a little more if you want, about himself, about yourself, or about others.
For me, there was a moment about halfway through the week where I just, so we did a devotional that this boy who was actually part of the Cincinnati campus, his family was gifted with this car because his mom needed a way to get back and forth to work and take him to different things. And in the devotional, it talks about how he just stopped everything and he said, "Hey, can I pray for this?" And in that moment, I just was like, gosh, why don't I do that? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized I am so focused on my to-do list, and I'm so sorry, I'm going to cry.
No, it's okay.
I have a to-do list that I focus on that, and I never put God on that to-do list because I do him before, I do him after. And there are these moments where I'm just thankful, but I don't stop, and I don't thank him immediately. I thank him later in the day or in the morning, the next morning when I'm having my quiet time, but it's not in the moment. And so then it went a step further, and I just felt like God was asking, when you don't thank me, that perhaps he's trying to get me to that point to where I stop and recognize him immediately, and that perhaps some of the times that's why my prayers aren't answered. It's like when we're with our kids and we are trying to get them to get a concept, right, something that we want them to do better or do in a different way, and we will work with them and work with them and wait on them. And then when they get it, it's a joyous moment and we give it to them. And I just felt like God was saying, that's what I'm waiting on for you. I just want more of your attention. So
I love that.
I loved the idea of, and it's probably something that I'll hopefully carry on. I'm not a journaler, but I was this week just because you're like, I got to process all the things that are happening. I don't want to forget this. But asking yourselves those questions. What is God teaching me about himself? What is God teaching me about myself? And what is God teaching me about others? And I think what I saw this week, kind of, to carry on with what Crystal was saying about how open people were and how sharing their story was really powerful. I think what God is showing me about himself and about myself is that I can only figure those things out through other people. And that by talking to other people, being in community with other people, loving other people, hearing their stories, it helps you go, that's what I was feeling, but I didn't know how to say that. Or like, that's, you're right, like, that does make sense. Or like, I can't believe you're going through that. And it just puts a lot of things in perspective when you're able to understand someone else's story. And so I think that was really, really powerful for me this week, was just pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, being open, and not worrying about what the other person is going to think of you. You know, like, I'm not responsible for, I'm only responsible for what I say. I'm not responsible for how you take that, you know? So, but I think by sharing our story and being honest, because we all have struggles. We all have joys. We all have things that we can teach each other. And you never know these things until you share them. And two, just kind of being able to, I have a very good life. Like, I have a very, 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 very blessed life. And a lot of the things we were talking about this week were belief systems and how we grew up and how people speak to us and what we see is how it really shapes the lens that we view the world. I was blessed to view a lens, like, my lens is rosy, you know, like, it's beautiful. Not everyone has that. And so being able to, like, hear how others live their lives makes me so much more grateful and thankful that these are the shoes I get to walk in. So.
I love that. Thank you so much. One thing I love when I got a couple of notes from these ladies is right at the top, they were already eager to share. And there's no way in this time that we can hear all the experiences of their week, but they are willing to grab coffee with any of you or ice cream or go for a walk. So connect with them and don't wait. If you feel like you want to hear more about this, they are both willing to talking to you about that. And ladies, I'd love it if you'd leave us with your, I love the one word game. What's the first word that comes to your mind? So I'm going to ask them what's their one word for the week. And hopefully that word sparks some curiosity in you and then you want to pursue that with them. So ladies, if you could give us, what's your one word for the week?
Well, I'll share mom's just so she can be with us in spirit. Her word was grateful. Mm. My word was recalibrate.
And my word was connections.
I love it. Thank you for leaving us with that. Thank you, ladies, for sharing so authentically. I know it's not easy. Awesome. When you've seen front row what God is doing, it is really hard not to share. So I really, sincerely, they want to talk to you. So do connect with them. In our Cancun site, we serve vulnerable families. We have two community centers. And like I said, it looks different because I know when you've heard about Haiti before, they're primarily, at least when our teams have been there most recently, we've served in orphanages. So what back-to-back looks different at each one of our sites. In Matthew 25, we read the call to do things for the least of these, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick, to visit the imprisoned. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. This direction is literally scattered throughout Scripture. There isn't a lightning moment for me when I knew that we were called to Haiti. I just knew that God was leading us down that path. And like it says in Psalms 82:3, I knew God wanted me to defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. I knew that these kids deserved to know there is a God who loves them, that they deserved to have their basic needs met, and they deserve to know that they are worth it. And God was calling me and my family to spend our time for that cause. I would love to tell you that God put us right on that trajectory and we jumped right into that. But the truth is that Jeff and I were in a small group. As we all know, Andy loves to say the people in your life shape your life. And we were reading a book called The Hole in Our Gospel by Richard Stearns. And I do recommend it, but it will wreck you. God already had us on a trajectory for orphan and vulnerable children. And in 2010, when the Haiti earthquake happened, I was reminded that Haiti's only a 90-minute plane ride from Florida. They truly are our neighbor when we are called to love our neighbor. And by some measures, they're the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. So God had us on that trajectory already. But Jeff and I honestly didn't know if we were being called to foster care or international missions with back-to-back. And so we waited on God, and we begged him to show us a sign. And we waited, and we waited. And the truth is, with three kids and jobs and a busy life, we probably could still be waiting for him to just show us a sign. But we had our small group, and they encouraged us to follow the example in Joshua 3, where the Lord is leading the people, and he leads them up to the Jordan River, and he parts the river. But he doesn't part the river until the first people's feet are wet from stepping into the ripping waters of the Jordan River. So we pursued, we walked forward, and we pursued foster care, and we pursued back to back. And we prayed that the Lord would bless one and close the door to the other. And I swear the way I remember is that it happened in the same week. We met with the leadership of back to back, and I fully expected them to say, hey, that's great that you want to move to Haiti, but we've got people that know way more scripture and are way holier than you. But that is not what they said. They were so excited about our skill sets, the way my husband and my skill set both matched what they needed in Haiti. They were super encouraging and really were all about getting me on a trip at that point because I hadn't even visited Haiti when we were at that point in our journey. That same week, we got a call from our caseworker. And we had started our home study for foster care, and she said, if you don't finish everything on your list in the next 2 weeks, I'll have to deny you. And we were quite shocked because we thought we had a full 7 months left to finish it, and it was testing season, and I was a teacher, and there was no way we were going to finish that. So we felt like, in that moment, God slammed the door on foster care and threw open, think these cargo bay doors. In my mind, they're actually both of them put together and a little bigger. God threw open that door and said, this is the door I want you to walk through. And sometimes God does that. He wants us to step forward. He wants us to make the first move. He's a gentle God. He'll show you the next step when you take that action of stepping out. So the church supported us, and we moved our family off to Haiti. And I'd love to say that it's because we love kids, but the truth is my husband would probably tell you he's not even good with kids. That's not true. But the Lord uses your skill set. Jeff moved to Haiti as site staff to do whatever needed to be done. And through that time, the Lord moved him into leadership. He took on the role of decision-making and planning and became our site director. He helped us do things at the site that has set them up to be where they are today. They are serving not only orphanages, but also stepping in and serving vulnerable families and working on orphan prevention. Jeff can look back as he sees Haiti and ask himself, was it worth it? I can look back and when I count the emotional and the transitional cost and say, did it even make a difference? But the truth is, it did. In our reading plan this week, you're going to read 1 Corinthians 3. And in the first 9 verses, the people of Corinth are fighting. They're arguing over which teacher they follow. Is it Apollos or is it Paul? It'd be like if I said, I go to Blue Ash Community Church and I follow Andy because he's a better pastor than, oh wait, no, he's not better. Ah, good thing he's not here. So in 1 Corinthians verse 5, Paul says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. The Lord has assigned each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. I think that's so cool. We get to be co-workers in God's service. Jeff or me, we aren't anything, but I know that my family, we played the role that God asked us to play. We were obedient in stepping into what he had for us, whether it was planting seeds or even tilling the soil for someone else to plant the seeds, for God to do the harvesting. We stepped into what he asked from us, and I know that that is what he wants from you. The truth is that caring for the widow and the orphan isn't about getting on a plane ride and going to Cancun. It isn't about crossing an ocean. And honestly, it isn't just a good idea for someone else. You don't have to move your family or go on a trip for a week, though I do believe if you spend that week, the Lord will move mountains for not only the kids you serve, but for you too. But it's so important, we literally wrote it on the wall, love the marginalized. It might be easy on this side of my story to think that it was all easy, but I will tell you, while following God is always worth it, there were hard moments. And 11 of the 12 people that walked most closely with Jesus gave up their life for their faith. Now, I hope God won't ask that much of you, but I know he is asking something. He's calling you to something. So it's easy, if not dangerous, to say, well, Janice, I could never do what you and Jeff did. And it might not surprise you that we've heard that before, more than once. But the good news is that God isn't calling us to the same thing. He's not calling you to do what Jeff and I did or what we're doing. But he is calling you to use your time and your talents and your skills for kingdom work. I love that we get to be coworkers. I love that we get to jump in to what God is doing. As a Christ follower, it's not optional to love your neighbor as yourself. But sometimes I think we can let ourselves off the hook a little bit and say, I am a good neighbor. I wave here in Blue Ash. I'm kind. I go out of my way where I live in Westchester or wherever you live. But I do think that God wants more than just our kindness as we go through our daily routine. Orphan and vulnerable children are your neighbor too. And I think that the Lord wants us to go alongside of him as he pursues the one. I have some next steps for you. Like Craig talked about when we first got started, you have a Connect card. It was in the program that you got on your way in, or it's in the seat back in front of you. If you haven't started filling that out, I invite you to do that now with whatever you're comfortable with. Like Craig said, and I was gonna say, whether this is your first time or you've been here since 2013, we want you to fill that out because we do believe that God has a next step for you. He wants to challenge us and stretch us in our faith walk with him. So we ask you to write down whatever your next step is, if it's something that I challenge you with, or if you have something that is your own that you want to write down that you feel like the Lord is putting on your heart, write that down. We'll pray over you. We'll connect with you where it's appropriate and drop that in the offering bucket when it comes by. But my first next step is this. Accept Jesus for the first time. If today you've heard stories of hope, how God goes after orphan and vulnerable children, how he can redeem kids from hard places, and you say to yourself, I want to put my hope in a God who goes after the one, or I want to love and be loved like that. If you've made that decision, note that on your Connect card and drop it in. We'll pray with you and connect with you. And like Craig said at the beginning, the Bibles back there are free. If you don't have one, please take one, and all the rest of the resources too. Another next step that you might have is to partner with God, partner with us, and go to the missing. Serve orphan and vulnerable children. You don't have to travel to have a front row seat to what God is doing. He can use you right where you are. So you're thinking to yourself, how can I do that? Well, that's just maybe your next step. Ask God. God, give me a heart for the least of these. Give me your eyes to see and light my path and what you would have me do. Or maybe you already know where God is nudging you or where he's leading you, and you need to pray for the strength and the confidence to go boldly forward in obedience. Then you can pray, Lord, pour out my life for your cause. After reading in our reading plan for the past couple of weeks, I know that God is calling you to something, and it's your job to be obedient. Pray, God, how would you have me go to the missing? How would you have me love the marginalized? How would you have me pour out my time and my talents for the least of these to remind people that you love them and you delight in them? All right, I want to offer you a couple ideas. Okay, maybe a bunch of ideas. And you can try these on and see if this is what the Lord has for you. Something that God might be asking you is to make a swap. It might be with your money. He might want you to make a sacrifice with a purpose. A swap. I love acronyms. And he might want you to give to an organization that supports vulnerable kids. Or he might want you to sponsor a kid or a family. We are all about relationships, so much so it's in our logo. And we also know that brain research says God heals in relationship. Sponsorship is all about relationship. Another idea with our money is about shopping. And I know some of us like to shop. We can love our neighbor and raise people out of poverty with the way we spend our money on sustainable or fair trade brands. Or even shopping and donating at a nonprofit store like Clutter to Care that's on Fields Ertl. They radically support foster kids and foster families and give all of their profits to organizations that work with vulnerable children. Or maybe God is inviting you to go on a trip with Back to Back or another organization. You can write that on your card and we will get you information. Also, you might not think about this, but there's vulnerable children here too. So you could bring one of those children into your home as a foster kiddo or through an organization called Safe Families. Or maybe you could come alongside of a family who's doing that and cook meals, cut their grass, do their laundry. Or you could volunteer with an organization that invests in kids. Back to Back has a Cincinnati site. It's not that far away. You could volunteer there on a consistent basis. Or you could tutor with Whiz Kids. Or you could even be a big brother or big sister, because I do know those still exist. God could use you to go after a kiddo and remind that kiddo that he loves them, or maybe even tell him for the first time, because you're the one he sent to them. And another way that you could serve, if you're like my husband and you're not so all about tutoring kids, is all the organizations that work with kids have a myriad of other tasks that need to be done, from graphic design to event planning. You could volunteer your skills with them that way. If none of these move your heart, then keep praying and asking the Lord. Make that your prayer for the week. I know the Lord has kingdom work for each of us. It will just look different. Whether it's tilling, sowing seeds, or harvesting or watering. We will read this week about how God used Paul. Paul was a killer of Christians. If God can use Paul, I believe God will use you. All right, the last next step I have for you is to do your memory verse. You got it on your new card when you came in. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. If you write that each morning when you do your reading plan, for sure by the end of this reading plan, you will have it memorized in no sweat. And if you're looking for more accountability, if you've got kids in your life, ask them and have ask them to ask you to say it to them. I find that gives me a lot of accountability. All right, now we're going to enter a time of prayer and communion so you can get out the communion elements that you would have picked up when you came in. Or maybe like you're like me on most days and you're talking when you came in and you missed it, you can feel free to get up right now and move over there and grab those by the door. In this time, we want to celebrate. Nope, I'm sorry. Hold on. Oh, I wanted to invite you to get prayer before we do communion. I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm going to set up a time of prayer and communion, and there's multiple ways that you can get prayer. And I lead our prayer team, so the fact that I almost just skipped it is almost hilarious. If you write your prayer request on your card and drop it in the offering, our prayer team will pray over that all week. We are honored to do that. But maybe more powerful than that is we'll have a prayer team up here on your right, on my right and on my left, also yours, and they would be honored to pray for you. If the Lord is nudging you to come up, that walk is the hardest the very first time. But I promise you, no one is looking, and God is good. These prayer teams want to pray over you. They want to pray with you if it's something that's going on in your life or for your next step or if you want a blessing or you want to share a praise or even if you don't know what you want prayer for or you'd rather not say, they will pray with you and you won't regret it. We have a lot of ways to get prayer, like I said. We have a prayer wall in the back here, and if you have a prayer request and you want to write it on a tag and if you face that toward the wall, again, our prayer teams and our staff will pray over that. But if you face it out, we want to be a praying church, so the whole church will pray over that. So church, that means I'm inviting you to stop by back there, pray over those outward-facing tags, and then even pray over, we'll call them unspoken requests, that face the wall. All right, if you are online, you can email us at prayer@bluehcc.com, or you can pray with the group of people that you're with. There are no magic words, and I promise you, I am no better at talking to God than you are. And if you're here and the Lord nudges you to pray for someone, follow that nudge. The Holy Spirit really wants to use all of us. All right, we're going to receive our offering now. So if you put your Connect card in there when it comes by, we would be super grateful for that. We love knowing how you got connected and how we can pray for you. If you wanted to give today but didn't come prepared, there's a postage paid envelope in your program. You can simply mail it in. All right, now you can grab out your communion elements. All right, and we'll go into prayer and communion. This time of communion is a reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us to redeem us and to restore us. The wafer represents his body broken for us. The juice, his blood poured out for us. Jesus took a death that we deserved and overcame it by rising again. And we celebrate that and we remember that and we reflect on the abundance, grace, and mercy that he's lavished on us. I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are God with us. I thank you that you are a God who pursues the one, Lord, that you promised to meet us where we are and come for us. Father, I pray that as we come to you with our hearts full of worship, that you would meet us where we are this morning, that you would feed us, that your Holy Spirit would move and lead us to what you have, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.